61 to avoid the Korean War. I still didn't know anything about it. But then once I went into the National Security Agency, I began to know about it. Because it was interesting, and I wondered at that time, what effect is this going to have on the earth? And I started looking at it and understanding what it was. And Lordy mercy, we've been doing this since 1947. We are doing it all over the world and have been doing it all over the United States for a long time. Now, if you look down at that little map of the United States that this thing runs down and then goes into, I better put my glasses back on. This wasn't color, but I couldn't get it to reproduce in color. You can tell where those darker areas are, can't you? See those areas? Some of them are little dots. Some of them are big, like up in Pennsylvania. And some of them are big, like up in Michigan. Some of them are big, like up in Montana, Wyoming. And some are big back in the area of Idaho, Colorado, through there. And the thing about these things, what they do, they hook up a high speed, well, they hook up metal, like a metal pipe, just like you run out of your, get your water out of in the front yard. They run it down into the, but it's thick, very strong. They run it down into the lower levels. Now, you don't have to use it when you're first drilling because the oil is thin enough to where you don't have to do this. And so when they get down to a certain depth, they have a hard time pulling that thicker oil out because the oil is thicker because more pressure is put on it as you go down. And so they turn this high pressure thing on upstairs, push it, and have the metal water pipe go down, and they high pressure it with water primarily, because water and oil don't mix too well. And in certain types of oil, they use some chemicals in there with it, and they really put the pressure down there. And it washes out all the oil between all the layers. Most of it, when you get down that low, is stratified like this. And it just, and when it does, it just washes all that oil out. And everything down there starts collapsing. And the oil and the water rise to the top of everything that's collapsing. So they just keep on doing that until they get every bit of the oil out of there. Well, when I got in school over here at Arkansas Tech, I got briefed on that, and I thought, good grief, wonder how much that they're doing. They're doing it all over the place. Now, when I first came down here, I found the Ouachita Fault that ran across into Oklahoma. And it was producing a lot of some earthquakes, 3.2, 1.2, once in a while a 3.4 or something like that. But they were doing that over there then. But we just have an occasional earthquake. Then they started doing it all over northern Oklahoma. And they started doing it in Michigan, and they started doing it in Pennsylvania. And they have really done that all over. So what happens if you drive all the oil out, you lift it up, pull all the oil up, since it rises to the top of water, and just let the water seethe all the way down through there? Well, it ain't, I tell you what's happening. They had a program today about it, and this is the reason I'm doing it, on Fox News. And when we first started having this, we had the first one when I was at this church, and they said, oh, my goodness. And I said, oh, it's just that old Ouachita Fault. And I said, they don't have very many. But I got to watching that, and I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, they started actually hydraulic fracturing, and they started doing it all over the country. You know, last month, they had 700 earthquakes in northern Oklahoma, and some of them were all close to five. And you know what? That's all over the world. You know, when God moves those tectonic plates, man has pretty well prepared his own grave. And I'm glad I live in Arkansas, because we don't do that over here, at least not yet. Earth is now groaning for Seal 6 quake in last days of next administration. A great increase in Oklahoma since 2009. Begin excerpts from Associated Press via Fox News. 4.5 magnitude shakes Cushing, Oklahoma. This was October 10th, 2015. They had another one up there today. Two moderate magnitude earthquakes have shaken northern Oklahoma. Well, you can read this for yourself. It's huge print. And this thing is very interesting. You can read that front part just as well as I can, probably better. Now, over on the back, Romans 8, 22, 29. Now, I believe in predestination. I'm not a Calvinist. But you remember the Lord said, he scattered them. He said, if I don't scatter them, he said, then nothing will be impossible for them. Man has shared this information, and it has been shared to every country in the world, because this doesn't seem to have any effect on war. But everybody's doing it because of an exchange of information and because of the growth of what I call computer ease. God knew that was going to happen. And God knows what's going to happen when those tectonic plates start to move. And I kind of think God takes everything into account. I don't think I'm going too far-fetched. But man, this is I didn't know this and wasn't really concerned about it until 2009. Well, I knew about it as a geologist when I was in school. They taught us all about it. He says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, that's a supplied word, meaning all the things in the creation. Then he says, he wants us to know this, but ourselves also. He said, we're a part of that creation, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we do have the first fruits of the Spirit because Jesus Christ lives in us, and he is the first fruits of the spirits. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now, when you're young like Anime and I, we're not anxious for it, you know. We don't care. We got plenty of time. I love that commercial where the girl says, "I just retired," and she said, "and I have great plans for life." And I thought, honey, you better watch out. I don't know what's going to happen to me tonight when I go to bed. The redemption of our body. Well, we're looking forward to it. When I was Michael's age, I wasn't. I wanted the Lord to come, and but I didn't love him enough to want him to come right away. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I think Paul was exceptionally impatient because he got to see heaven. And if we had ever seen heaven, we wouldn't have to base what we believe on faith. We could just believe it on having seen it. I tell you, when God does something, he sure knows what he's doing. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Grandmother McElmurray taught me Always say, Lord willing, Tom Mack. Always say, Lord willing. And she was very serious about it. And I could tell when she was serious. I could tell when Papa Mack was serious too. So Papa Mack, Peck Johnson, full grown old man, wasn't quite as old as Papa Mack. But he kept after me for weeks. Call me Peck. Everybody called him Peck. We were sitting out on the front porch and I called him Peck. I almost got a licking for it. And only Peck saved me. He said, Henry, he said, I've been after the boy for weeks to do that. He said, well, Peck, we just don't do that. And Peck was a Christian too. And so I didn't get a licking and he didn't say anything else to me about it. Would you believe me? And yet, my grandmother told him, she said, Henry, he's going to call me thin, what Theo, whether you like it or not. And so I had to call her Theo. So part of my life was remembering who and what and when and where to call somebody what. He says, then do we with patience wait for it. If I had seen heaven, like I'd be like Don McCoy. I'd say he was our deacon. And he said, Lord have mercy. He says, if I knew where it was, I'd start out a foot. And that's about the way I feel now. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood. I tell you, there are times when I'm praying, I say, Lord, this is hurting me inside. I said, I'm groaning about it. If I'm wrong, help me, Lord, to confess my sin. And if it's not me, Lord, I pray for whoever it is that's causing me to feel this way. And I said, would you please unscramble this mess? And I've asked him several times. I said, Lord, and finally when I come around to the conclusion, it's me that's responsible. I said, Lord, please straighten out this mess I've made. And I said, if that's permissible, I said, would you please straighten out this mess I've made? Now that may say strange to you, but he does. He really does. And so with groanings which cannot be uttered, he knows our hearts. He knows when we're groaning. He knows when we're hurting. He knows what we need, and he knows how to do it. After 40 years of praying, I've learned a lot. And the less I say in prayer, the better. And I don't try to be specific. And I try to let him know, and he already knows it. Lord, I just help me. I don't know what to do. And he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Okay, that's a tremendous help to me. I'm God called. I know I'm God called. I'm certain I'm God called. And God knows that I know. And God knows I want to do what's right. I really do. Even if it hurts me personally. And God knows that. So he considers what I ask for. And if I just pour out my heart to him, well, it's just best to do that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. His son never had to confess a sin. From the cradle to the grave. He said, I want you to try to do the same. He knows I can't. But he knows I want to. And he knows that his son is in me. And he knows his son never commit a single sin. And he knows he's gave me his righteousness. He gave me his overcomer position. And he also gave me the ability to ask for forgiveness, knowing it would be received. So that means an awful lot to me, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to be like the firstborn. And the firstborn never sinned. But if I ask him for forgiveness from a repentant heart, My sins are washed away and I'm white as snow. Till the next time I sin. You say, I never heard anything like that. It's the truth. And I guess that's why I love him so much. He forgives. I loved my mother because she always forgave me. I wasn't quite sure how much I loved my dad. But I love Papa Mac and Theo because they forgave me too. But God has always forgiven me. I just love to see God's hand work in the earth. Sometimes I'm not sure if it's God's hand. But it sure does match the scripture. But I just love to see him work in the heavens, in the earth. I've loved that since I was a child. And I've just always loved it. Okay. The first man to overcome the world as Jesus was the quickening spirit in the office of Genesis seed son. That's the first man to overcome the world, and he overcame it completely. He didn't have to ask for forgiveness. He was the overcomer himself. He was merciful. Very gracious. One God fulfilled three offices called Godhead. The three offices were the office of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a trinity of offices, not a trinity of gods. We'll see only one heavenly God. In him will be all of God. All there is of God will be in him. And God determined that from the foundation of the world. And then he carried it out. And he told us how he counted it out. But you got to really dig to understand it. And I'd be a liar if I told you I understood everything about the Bible. But he sure has helped me with that. Genesis 1:26a, and God said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image after our likeness. That was Jesus. That is Jesus and always will be Jesus. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Then he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Not you. I have. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of us. And it's available. And when we go to him, we're overcomers. The question is, how much do you want to let him in you overcome? He's the only one in you that ever really overcame. And he just goes ahead and he helps you. He leaves your carnal, he overcomes your carnal nature. You go ahead and sin, though. And then what happens? Then, after you sin, you ask him to forgive you. And he does. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? I mean, you worry about it, don't you? I mean, maybe this is the big one. No, there's no such thing as the big one. Once the overcomer's in you, he's the one that did the big one. And what we're doing is just grabbing onto him and holding, and he's holding on to us. Because we'll get off the track. That's the truth. We will. But he's always there. And even when we're off track, I know what I should do. But maybe I just like to enjoy being mad about something for a while. Maybe I'm so mad at somebody, I want to kill them. And I have to, and he makes me do it. And he's the only one can stop me. Nobody else. I can't stop myself. And so I'm getting better at it. Getting better at what? Being an overcomer? No, getting better at running to him and asking him to bail me out. And asking him to straighten out the mess I've made. he says, Revelation 1, 7 and 8, be of good, he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see. Guess where we're going to be? We've already been judged in heaven. We've discovered we were even worse than we thought. But God forgave us. And they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. We're not going to be groaning. We're going to be right behind him. We're going to observe all this. We're going to see all of it. And when he comes down on the earth, we're going to be right behind him. And after he instructs them to build the temple, and they finish it, on the day that they finish it, I've got a picture I think I've shown you where you have a whole host of people as far back as you can see, just little, maybe little dots in the distance, and then right up front, and they're right behind him, and they're going through the gate. Man, I never saw anything like that. The old boy gave it to me. He was at his house. Lonnie Johnson, good friend of mine. I love the old boy. He's just a good man. Well, nobody's good, but he's a fine man, I'll tell you that. He calls me every once in a while, and I talk to him. He says, I make all things new. He says, even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He's Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Counselor. He's the Comforter. He's the Prince of Peace. He's all those things. I'm so thankful I learned that. Because he's so much more to me now. He's so much greater to me now. I love him more now. Because to think that somebody like that would take the time to notice me, even though I was a sinner, sold under sin. If you get to know him, that makes you love him. People that never get to know him may be able to teach about him, but they never do know how to love him. I love you. I never thought I could say that when I first came up here and mean it. Revelation 21, 5 through 7. And he that sat on the throne beside said, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is the thirst of the fountain of water freely. I mean, it's free. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water freely. You wanted the fountain of life. You wanted the water of life freely. You're here. You're here. Who doesn't he give the water of life to? Those that won't be converted. They're perfectly happy with their salvation. And when they get to heaven, guess what they get? They're in heaven. They're in a glorified body. They do have it. That's true. But the inheritance is there for them. They won't claim it. And what rewards are the reward for being interested in the inheritance and being converted by the spirit of the overcomer who lives inside you. That's the way it is. You say, well, that makes too much sense. I don't think so. Because I used to complicate this thing, and it's not complicated. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Where does the son live? Near the father. Well, who is the Father? The Son. Where are we going to live that let him convert us? Depending on where he puts us inside that city. You say, that's right. And you're here. Now, if I had a whole church congregation here, you think I'd show them this? You think I'd tell them this? I'm about to. I'm a kind of man who's so afraid he's going to hurt somebody's feelings, I go out of my way not to hurt him. And I just, but I tell you what, they're going to be wearing one of those petticoat outfits. You say, how do you know? Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. All they've got on is one of those petticoats. And the petticoat itself shows that you've pretty well defiled yourself. I'm not saying that's going to happen that way. I'm just saying it's something worth thinking about. I tell you, once you discover that God means for you to be converted and you're interested in it and you start wanting to understand Him, you fall in love with Him. When I met Imogene, I was so attracted by her because she was such a wonderful person. But after I got to know her, I loved her from the depths of my soul because she loved God from the depths of her soul. And He says, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Well, there was a few names in Sardis that were that way. Now, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. That means He's God. If you're going to partition it between the three of them, one's got a third, the other's got a third, and the other's got a third, it doesn't work that way. It's all consolidated in Jesus Christ because He's God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then what He said next? You can take it to the bank. He didn't tell them they had to be baptized. He told those disciples, you go out there and tell them, be baptized. You know what that is? That's conversion. We've had many people come to this church. And when the baptism came up, we had a couple came up here and one, they swore they'd be back. I knew they wouldn't come back. They didn't want to be converted. I've known the lives of many people that have come down this aisle. And they'll say, we'll be back. I knew they wouldn't. Been here too long. Know people too well. Until I was ready, just to get out on my knees and tell God, I'll do whatever you want. I never had any joy in my life except the fact that I knew I was going to heaven. After that, things began to change. I learned things about Jesus and about myself I did not even know. And had I been taken out right after I got saved and lived to this ripe old age and died and had my own way in my own life, I'd be wearing one of those petticoats up there. But guess who gives the garments out? It's the Lord. Guess who tries to keep us from soiling them and spoiling them? The Lord. Guess who loves us? And it's Him. Now, you all know that. I'm not too worried about you all. I'm responsible for you all, and I'm responsible to tell you this. I don't worry about you all because I know you have Him in you. And I feel like if something goes wrong, you've learned enough about Him, you get over it and come back. That's the way it is. He says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together in a heap. When I was growing up in school, they didn't know what this meant. I didn't either. They said, what does it mean, growing up in a heap? And I looked at that over and I thought, it says the waters of the sea, that's plural, in a heap. You know what happens every day? out in the middle of the ocean. They gather up like a heap. Just like that. Did you know that? And do you know that's what causes the tide to go out? And when it goes out, the heap drops down again and it's level. Watch the moon. That's what happens. Those are the phases of the moon. Up goes the water. Out goes the tide. You say, is that what he meant? I'm absolutely positive that's what he meant. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. The waters of the sea he layeth up in the depth in storehouses? I can tell you the exact meaning of that. When I was over at Arkansas Tech, and I'd tell them, the water is stored underneath a layer. And I said, the water was stored underneath a layer. But I showed them where God broke up the crust. I showed how all that was destroyed. And I said, that was meteoric water. What does meteoric water mean? It means that the meteors came crashing into the earth and the water seeped down to the bottom where they were underneath that layer. And they just laid there in meteoric water. And it just built up. The earth is a very long place. Some people don't like the idea that I believe the earth is billions of years old. But time doesn't mean anything to God. People want the Bible to be very exact. Tell me exactly what it says. I don't believe anything else. It tells you to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I believed that. Well, what happened? Well, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, God broke up the fountains of the great deep. And that meteoric water came pouring out. And the water elevation rose and flooded the earth. It says it flooded the land of the Odamos, whatever that means. But that's what happened. And that's why God wanted me to go to school. If you think I enjoyed sitting there getting carbuncles on those two cheeks I don't smile with, I didn't. He said, let all the earth fear the Lord, for all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. Do you think atheists and agnostics stand in awe of him? Do you think people that just got saved and go out and never serve him again, never come back again, you think they're going to hell? No, I don't. But they sure don't stand in awe of him. If they stood in awe of him, they'd come back and stay in church. And if they'd stay long enough, the Lord would teach them what they should do. But they don't want it. They refuse it. What would have happened if you had refused to choose Christ as your Savior? You'd have gone to hell. What would have happened to you if you hadn't served God afterward and lived to be my age and still hadn't served him? You'd have wore a petticoat in heaven. Oh, you might have glowed in the dark, but you wouldn't live in the city. You say, well, how could I know that? I ran away from God. I thought I was doing pretty good. And I wasn't. He says, for he spake it, and it was done. He commanded it, and it stood fast. But the devil, it was broken up. The devil was instrumental in that. But it stood fast. But then it began to spread apart. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. That means exactly what it says. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of the Lord to all generations. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You know, anybody not going to hell is blessed. So if you receive Christ as your Savior, I guarantee you that you're blessed. But you know, how blessed are you? Does God have one single blessing, salvation, after you're saved? Can you do whatever you want? No. And he made it easy for you to do what he wanted because he's merciful. He forgives you by grace. When he says that he forgives you, he means it by grace. If you confess your sins, he forgives you. And the same thing is true about the Lord's Supper. You know, if you don't take it, he still takes you to heaven. But when you get there and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to realize what a horrible mistake you made. And there will be gnashing of teeth there. For the place of his inhabitation looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. I mean, works are here where you may attempt to keep the commandments of God and to observe the ordinances of the church correctly. And then he looks down and he sees what you're doing. And if you do it, you get a triple blessing. He gave double blessings in the Old Testament. I don't know why he can't give us a triple blessing. This is something. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. I don't care how big an army you have. I don't care who the king is. I don't care how many victories got under his belt. God can whip any king, any army that has ever been assembled. Amen. You really believe that? Amen. I do. That's why I don't worry about the tribulation period. That's why I don't worry about global warming or global cooling or whatever they come up with. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. I mean, when I was in my own strength, I was miserable trying to serve the Lord. I was miserable. But now, I do the best I can to do what he wants me to do and what the Bible teaches. And if I think I goofed up, I confess it to the Lord. And I confess it to you. But I don't go on my might anymore. I go on his might. When I ask him to straighten out this mess I've made, he knows I'm thinking, Lord, I don't even know how to start. And horses are a vain thing for safety. You know, they used to depend on those horses they rode. Boy, that was, if they could get away from their enemy on a faster horse, or if they had chariots that they could get away from their enemy on faster chariots. Neither shall he deliver anyone by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his energy, in his mercy. I couldn't live. I wouldn't want to live. Knowing what I know, if I didn't know how merciful he is, I never dreamed God was as merciful as he is after I got saved. And one of these days, John Holbrook's going to wake up and the Lord's going to snatch out from under the bed and grab him and say, "Well, John, you just waited too late. You should have listened to good old Brother McElmurray, who was my friend. To deliver their soul from death, to keep them from alive in famine, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O God, be upon us according as we hope in thee." I tell you what, I sure am enjoying this school. It's teaching me how bad I am. Oh, Lord. Hey, you want to dismiss us, Mike?